Welcome to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast with Jacob Ayers, providing actionable content to help you along your journey to financial freedom through real estate investing. As the premier asset class, real estate has helped ordinary people just like you amass fortunes. The benefits of passive income from real estate investing will allow you to live a life you want. And now, your host, entrepreneur, real estate investor, and apartment deal syndicator, Jacob Ayers.
Hi, and welcome to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast, episode 73. I'm your host, Jacob Ayers. Thanks so much for tuning in to yet another episode. Today's topic is going to stem around technology. You see, technology is changing the way we do everything in this life, from online dating to banking, and even the new craze, cryptocurrencies. Today, we're going to talk about how technology is changing the way we invest in real estate. Our guest is Craig Cecilio. Craig is a principal at Diversity Fund, Inc. and the founder and CEO of California Coastal Funding Group. He has worked in the real estate industry for nearly 20 years, and over the course of his career, he has participated in the development of over 1,000 single-family residences in California. Craig also owns a California-licensed real estate lending business for residential renovations and ground-up construction, a loan servicing business, and real estate crowdfunding website known as Diversity Fund. Since 1997, Craig has financed nearly $1 billion of real estate assets, having raised over $100 million in debt or equity for real estate transactions in the last 3 years, and has developed and managed over $25 million of residential property. Without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. All right, today I welcome on the show Craig Cecilio. Craig, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jacob. Thank you for having me on the show today. Appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. It's our pleasure, Craig. Well, Craig, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you got started investing in real estate?
Yeah, I'd say real estate goes way, way back to maybe even my childhood. I've always been one to venture off and become like an entrepreneur. And even as a young kid, I was always doing lemonade stands and doing landscaping and doing mowing lawns and all that type of stuff. So as I entered the workforce after attending school, it was just kind of natural for me to kind of gravitate towards real estate. I was raised in Connecticut and went to school in Colorado, and then I moved to California and arrived out here in 1997. And I had a couple odd jobs and was able to meet a couple people who were very active in real estate investing, in real estate syndication, and they kind of took me under the wing and taught me a few things. The rest is kind of history from there, because I got really curious at an early age and I was kind of OCD about it and really dove deep into real estate syndication. And with that being said, I kind of took every job there was in real estate when I first started one of my first companies in 2004. So it was different with the technology environment, and I was always a big advocate of technology. And as I saw things progress over the years with my background in the real estate syndication, I heard about crowdfunding and was a natural fit for myself to get involved with that. And about 2014, started Diversity Fund, and we went active. Took us a couple of years to really get active with the technology of our site. We were active in late 2016 with the technology to take investments online. And since then, we've put in about the past 13 months over $100 million of assets under management.
Yeah, awesome, Craig. Well, Craig, today we're kind of going to focus our conversation around crowdfunding. Could you start by telling us what exactly is crowdfunding and how does it work?
Well, I think crowdfunding has been around for a long, long time. But in the real estate field, it's really real estate syndication leveraged by technology. So real estate syndication is where you get a group of people coming together to do finance and fund a project. And crowdfunding is using technology to aggregate people, in this case, the crowd, to come together and to fund the particular project. And in our case, we are able to take investors anywhere across the U.S. at very low dollar amounts where we could leverage the technology to do a high dollar amount funding figure. So for instance, if we want to do a raise of $5 million, get $10,000 from, let's say, I think it comes out to, what, if my math's correct, 500 people to finance that transaction. Whereas in the past, if you're doing funding deals, you might do it, if you're just doing syndication, you might get five guys with $1 million to fund the project. So that's the difference, using technology to have more people get involved with that project.
Yeah, you really mentioned a couple things here, Craig, about technology, and it really has changed the way people are investing today. How have you seen technology change the way people are transitioning from syndications to crowdfunding in today's environment?
It's decreasing the barriers to entry. First of all, the guy with $10,000 is probably not going to be called by the broker who's going to get a commission on $5 million. So he's not really motivated to call the guy with $10,000 or $5,000 or $500. And so therefore, just by that reason alone, most of the good, high quality investments go to people who are already wealthy, go to family offices, go to hedge funds, go to institutions. So the people who are finding the deals don't want to spend the time in doing that. So now through technology, we're able to have that segment of the population be able to participate.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Craig, when you're reaching out to these people to develop this crowdfunding fund, there's really two different ways you are funding these deals, and that's through debt and equity, right? Could you explain to the audience the difference between debt and equity raising?
Well, DiversityFund's a vertically integrated platform. And so that means that we actually aren't the broker. We're not financing somebody else's transaction. We actually own the real estate. We develop the real estate that you invest in. So we offer equity participation, and our investments kind of function as debt in some forms of manner. And the reason we do this, and I'll go off and tell the difference in a second here, is that we're a very good balance sheet because I used to own an investment firm before, and my partner came from the investment world as well. And we're able to leverage that equity with institutionals and banks' money. And to us, that is a safer investment than if you're doing debt, lending money to somebody else who the bank said no to, and that they had to get money through crowdfunding. And that return to the people, to the investors, is going to be a double-digit return. You have to ask yourself, why are you investing in somebody who can't get a bank loan? That's riskier transaction. So that's why we're more equity based. So debt based would be you're lending the money to somebody and you're getting some monthly payments back, quarterly payments, or deferred payments. Whereas equity would be is where you participate, you have ownership interest in these projects, and most of the time you get paid when the project pays off.
Yeah, right. Okay. So it's really kind of comes down to a difference in your risk profile from DiversityFund's standpoint. Now, from the investor's standpoint, is there a difference in preference that you're seeing from your investors, whether they want to be debt versus equity partners?
I would say there's an education process with the investors. We're focused on institutional quality, using institutions to fund some of our transactions with the debt piece. And we're educating them about alternative investments and making sure that they are qualified enough to invest and not using all their eggs in one basket. So for instance, if they had $10,000, maybe they're investing a couple thousand dollars, not investing all $10,000 entire savings account. I think some people may go towards a debt instrument and put all their money into that debt instrument because it is debt and it functions a little differently. But the risk profiles for us is we believe ours is less risky than some of the debt instruments offered out there, because the reason is those people have not been qualified and approved to do by institutions. So therefore, they have either low credit scores or lack experience. And so in that case, the chances of the project going south are much greater than we do. In our platform itself, we have 20 years experience. I do have 20 years experience. My partner has 15 years experience. And we have a great track record, perfect track record with that being said.
Yeah, well, that leads into the next question pretty well, Craig. And that is, today we're seeing a lot of crowdfunding platforms popping up all over. Reality Shares, Reality Mogul, all of these different types of companies popping up. What sets aside DiversityFund and what are you guys doing differently?
First and foremost, we're a vertically integrated platform. So that means, again, you own title to the property, that you have an ownership interest in the property. So I'd say that is the biggest differentiator for us than everybody else. The second large differentiator, I believe, is it was founded by myself and Alan Lewis, and both of us are real estate guys, and both of us were partners in previous investment firms. So I've owned a real estate investment firm since 2004. been in real estate since 1998. Alan's been in real estate his entire career. After he got out of Columbia Law School, you worked in corporate securities on Wall Street, and you have a couple guys who not only have experience in real estate, but at the same time, you have guys who are actually experienced running companies, running this platform. But the other platforms of leadership, it might be their first time running a company, and also it's the first time for them running a company that's in real estate. So those are three major differences, I would say.
Yeah, so it's not like you have a couple tech guys that are just trying to figure out this real estate game. You guys really do have backgrounds in real estate, and are bringing the technology piece to that.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, I got the battle scars from the down to show that.
Yeah. Well, Craig, how are you in Diversity Fund vetting deals? What kind of deals are you looking for, and what kind of markets?
That's a great question, and this question we get quite often, and I think that's a very, very important question to ask. And I don't want to discourage people getting involved in real estate, and that's one thing that I never want to tell someone, hey, don't do something. But at the end of the day, it does require experience to be successful at this. And when my phone rings, it's a guy who I've known for 20 years, and it's an off-market deal. We've just established those relationships coming out of the downturn, and having those relationships that also came out of the downturn, that they know they're going to call someone and the deal is going to get done and they can make money with that person, holds a lot of leverage for us getting our deals. So we've been networked throughout the U.S., very heavily in California right now. We have a great pipeline. We did $100 million in 1 year. Right now, I have a pipeline of $500 million just for California itself. And we could take that same blueprint and put it across the whole U.S., but I think we're going to have to stop and just, you know, do a little bit of a internal look at the markets before we decide to go into other markets. But right now, we're pretty networked well and got a great pipeline going just because of having those relationships in place. Granted, you have those relationships, you still have to do your underwriting due diligence, but we're able to pick projects that are, not only do we believe that they're the less risky, but we are also choosing projects that have a social impact. So we're doing projects with a world-renowned designer right now. We got a couple in Beverly Hills. We're building here in San Diego, 58 apartment units, a couple things. We're trying to make it as green as possible and make it all be able to hook up to electronic cars, have all the spots hooked up to that, because I think Tesla's really taken off now and it's really been an increase in electronic cars going out there. So we're able to do stuff like that because we positioned ourselves correctly over the years.
Yeah, and okay, is there any one type of asset class that you guys are focusing on, Craig, whether that be single family developments, commercial?
That's a great question as well. Our backgrounds are in both. So based on the market, we're choosing our investments wisely. I love the mixed-use commercial space. That one project we have that I said is about 58 units. I'll probably get a couple more like that this year going. As far as doing the single family space, I really want something that pops well. We got a couple projects up in the San Francisco Bay Area, some locally here in San Diego, some in Orange County and LA County. So we're specifically targeting specific properties for that space. So it's a mixture of both. But to answer your question directly, I would say I would like to see our portfolio 80% mixed-use commercial by the end of next year.
Yeah, okay. Well, Craig, is there a certain type of investor that this investment is best suited for?
I would say everybody. I would say anybody. Anyone who's not into alternative investments, anyone who's not into real estate, they should get their feet wet. They should go in for a low dollar amount, $1,000, $2,000, $5,000. Someone who even wants to learn about real estate, because we have full transparency and we give construction updates on a monthly basis on all our projects, they could participate as well. We have a lot of older people, retirees, who want to build wealth and have passive income. They invest as well. Everybody from everywhere. And we have some people who just invest because they want to say, hey, I own that project. I own that. We're building a house right now in Beverly Hills that's kind of pretty cool looking. And some people just want to invest and say, hey, I was part of that. I was part owner of that project, for that sense of pride and awareness of doing something like that.
Yeah, not just with the novelty of things, but I'm sure that being able to be a passive investor in these higher end deals is really something of value to some of those types of folks as well.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, in the past, like I was saying before, the barrier to entry was high. No one's going to call you on a $5 million equity transaction if you have $10,000 or if you have $5,000 or even $50,000. So you're shut out of that whole community. So how do you ever engage in that? How do you learn about it? So we're offering that opportunity now to everybody.
Yeah. Well, Craig, let's take in a little bit of an example and almost maybe role play here. Let's say you have an investor that calls you and they're looking to invest just, say, a small amount of $10,000. What is that initial process going to look like for them? And how are you going to place them in a deal? Do they get any kind of say-so of what deal they pick? Is there just a general fund? Are they investing in a certain property? How does all that look?
It's all automated right now. It's all on the website, diversityfund.com. You go there. You can hover off over to offerings. We have single assets you can participate in. We have a couple alternative assets up there. We have a fund up there as well. And the fund's collateralized against all the assets. So you pick and choose what you like. You go in, you click on it. It'll ask you a series of questions. Based on those questions, you get a user login. You go in, you log in. We have all the material, all the underwriting in the back of the website, all there for you to read and look at, and hopefully has all your questions answered. And that's where we're learning. So when our customers come and ask us more questions, we make sure that next offering's updated with more info. So we're always constantly updating that and improving that. And then if you want to invest, you just simply click a button, fill out your financial information, sends the money over to a trust account, all the documents. There's about lots of documents. Like I gotta say, there's probably like 300 pages of documents at the end of the day. That's all automated and saved automatically into an account for you. And you have your own user account. Then you get a couple emails after that. Your investment goes live after the qualification stage. And then all of a sudden you can start looking at your portfolio and the interest that you're earning on your money through the back end of the website.
Yeah, okay. Now, Craig, this deal that maybe the investor is going to decide to invest in, is it already fully funded and you're just placing people in there to place capital there? Or is it not even technically bought yet? How does that work?
It's a little bit of both. And in some cases, we might pre-fund just to close the transaction. In some cases, it's a longer escrow and we'll keep it open to everyone to fund. It's a combination of both.
Yeah, okay. Now, Craig, I know that you're giving a lot of your investors preferred equity returns. Can you talk about what that is?
Well, preferred equity return, and how we define it, because I know a lot of us define things in different ways, is that you receive the money when the asset is disposed of. So, and I wanted to use the word dispose of is, one is if we're building a new home, let's say, when the home sells, you receive your principal plus your interest earned at that time. If we decide at that point in time to refinance that asset, go to a bank, get a refinance loan, we, at that point in time, you get your money principal back plus interest as well. So there's a couple exit strategies for getting your capital back in that format. And what also happens in a preferred equity situation is the way it works for us is we're the developer on these transactions. We don't get paid until you get paid first. So you get your principal, your interest, and then we keep whatever's left over. So our interests are very aligned for us to fulfill the offering, for us to make sure we're completing those projects, because we only benefit financially at the end of the day after you benefit.
Yeah, that's really reassuring for the investor knowing that they have to get paid before Diversity Fund does. So you're not just going to, say, run off with their money or have your interest ahead of the investors.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to have an interest that are aligned with yourself and with your investors. It has to be a win-win situation for both parties. It can't be a win-lose situation.
Yeah. Well, Craig, talking about the regulatory environments around this, what should the investor know going into this about the regulatory compliances they have to follow? And is there any responsibility on the investor to do any of those types of things?
It depends on the offering type. It's what's great about the Jobs Act and with crowdfunding today and with is that we do a Title IIc offering, and we're going to have a Reg A plus offering hopefully on our site sometime in February or March. And so those types of offerings work differently. One of it is we could do general solicitation to the general public on our offerings, which allows anyone to invest at any point in time. Well, this wasn't true up until 2015. You had to either know someone ahead of time or had to be a friend of a friend introducing you to a firm. You had to establish a relationship. So this is the first time ever this is available to the general public. And with that being said, a Title IIc offering means that you have to get verified as an accredited investor. And that's all automated with the process. You go to the website and it's going to send you some forms, and a third party is going to ask you for some forms to fill out. Where the Reg A Plus offering is something that's open to anybody regardless of economic status or income status. That is something that we have actively been, processed through the SEC today. And as soon as they give us approval, that will open up to the general public. And that one will have a entry level as low as $500. And you go through a process of, you basically say you don't have to disclose your income at all to do that. I always recommend with everybody is that, hey, you know, this is an alternative investment vehicle. Make sure that you have a very well-balanced portfolio and you understand a little bit about alternative investments and how they work, and don't stick all your eggs in one basket. So diversify.
Yeah. And what do you mean exactly by alternative investment, Craig?
Well, traditional investments are stocks, bonds, cash. So anything outside of that is considered alternative investments. Real estate is considered alternative investments. Oil and gas are alternative investments. Most people, common person, hasn't really heard of alternative investments, hasn't had a chance to participate in invest in real estate. Let's say you're a doctor or an attorney or a professor. You might have a financial advisor. Someone has your money in stocks and bonds, money market accounts, et cetera. And you're getting your nice 1-3 or 4% return, and you're not really getting these double digit returns on your money. You're not diversifying your portfolio into other categories. So we're providing a way for you to diversify your portfolio with a very low dollar amount. So you don't have to stick, traditionally, like I was saying, you'd have to stick $1 million, a couple $100,000 into something to participate in these. Now the barrier to entry is a lot lower. It's $500,000, $5,000.
Yeah, okay, really good. Well, Craig, what are some of the benefits to an investor investing in a crowdfunding platform such as Diversity Fund versus going out and doing their own investments, say buying a duplex or a fourplex or something of that nature?
It's like having a second job. So if you're going to do that, you have to become an expert in another field. And I think most of us don't want to become experts. We want to have our regular job, what we're doing. We want our money to grow passively as well. So we don't have either one, the education, or more importantly, the time to do that. A lot of people are in stocks and bonds, like I was talking about before, and they're just kind of online doing this. Now imagine doing that same thing online with real estate, and that's what crowdfunding provides.
Yeah, okay. Well, are there any benefits that the investor is not going to see by investing in a crowd fund, whereas they would if they're investing along themselves, such as tax benefits, the power of leverage, all of those types of things?
There is a lot of differences, I would say. And I would say I'm looking more, this is more for a passive income, not an active income stream for somebody. It's not for someone to go out and go back and reschool themselves on things. But that being said, the time that it takes to really educate yourself about real estate, to develop the relationships in real estate, to go in and learn your lessons in real estate, that takes some time. So you're going to have some lost opportunity there. And granted, like I was saying before, I think everybody should go out and do whatever they would like. And I don't want to take that away from anyone who wants to go out and buy a duplex or buy apartments, but there is a learning curve to do it. And some people just don't want to do that. They want to have the benefits of making money, maybe a little bit less money. So they're going to do it this way passively instead of actively.
Yeah. And some people find out the hard way, Craig, that it really is not a passive investment when you're going out and buying those things. I know personally, because that's what I do. So you're right. I mean, you have to, there's definitely a learning curve of learning what real estate is, how to invest in it, searching for deals, buying them, managing them, tenanting them. There's all this stuff that goes into investing in real estate that people, I think, have this misnomer of real estate investors are sitting on the beach drinking mojitos. And in fact, they're actually being a very active investor. So.
Yeah. I mean, if you're getting into duplexes and triplexes, those smaller stuff, your phone rings, you have to manage that property with all sorts of issues. It's very time consuming. And if you, and at the same time, you are not just managing real estate, you have to manage people. If you're going to rent it yourself, there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, definitely so, Craig. Well, Craig, for the investors out there that are considering investing in a crowdfunding opportunity, what are some things those types of people should be looking for?
I always start with the operators. Look who's running the platform first. And then after that, look who's running the project. In our case, you do them both at the same time. We run the platform and we run the project. So that really saves you time in your due diligence. And then look at the particular assets, if it's something that you feel comfortable investing in at the end of the day. If you do and you want to give it a shot, I would say, hey, start out with a small percentage at first and see how you like it. See how you like the customer experience. See how you like the company you're working with. See how you like the asset you're in. I think it's something here to stay. I think it's going to evolve. I think we're at the very early stages with everything. I think out of all the companies out there, there are probably less than 10, I would kind of say, are crowdfunding platforms for real estate. So there's not a lot out there. There's a lot of new ones getting up there. So kind of be patient, do your due diligence on them, ask the right question, and hopefully people will participate, because with the participation, we're going to see some great things happen. We're going to see some things change in the whole dynamic of raising money and development in real estate. And I am want to be at the forefront of that. And we are at the forefront of that. We're going to see things change throughout the country with this.
Yeah, such optimism there, Craig. And I think it is really exciting times looking at it with the way technology is opening up new opportunities and different ways to invest in these large deals for your everyday investors. So really exciting stuff. And I'm glad you guys are making opportunities like that available to investors.
Yeah, appreciate it. It's great. It's exciting. And so I have big goals for us. And at the end of the day, if you're trying to, I'm staring out my window at my office in San Diego. And what if someone approached us and says, hey, Craig, we want to redevelop the waterfront area, but the numbers don't make sense with the banks to get it done. Do you guys want to crowdfund that? And we throw down our platform and get people to participate to improve actually the city here. And those are some of the things I think we're going to see evolve with time, where people are more going into these projects, crowdfunding platforms, just not for monetary reasons, but to improve areas. And just have your mind just kind of think about that and how we can change just the infrastructure of our country with that. And we're such at the beginning stages right now with this.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, really exciting. And I'm looking forward to seeing how that changes the landscape of investing going forward. Well, Craig, as we're wrapping up here, we've got a lightning round, just a series of five questions we'd like to fire at you. And you just answer from the hip. How does that sound?
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. Craig, what was your biggest hurdle getting started investing in real estate? How did you overcome it?
I don't know if I had really any hurdles with it. I've always been a go-getter in life with everything. But it's, you know, your first time you're investing and for us is raising capital. It's same as everybody else is what's your experience doing it? And it's your first time doing it and getting someone to believe in you. And that comes down to just your character and what you've done in your past. So whatever you're doing in the past, what you're doing currently, and you want to get involved with it, and you need to support financially someone, do it well, because people will recognize that you're a good person and that you have a strong work ethic, and they'll back you.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Craig, do you have a personal habit that contributes to your success?
I am always forward thinking. I'm always solution-based. I never go into a situation with, oh, I have an issue here. I'm always walking into that with, here's three ways to solve that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Really good. Craig, do you have an online resource you find valuable?
You know, not recently, if you've watched the news. I don't have anything online I really find that I'm learning from as much. I think in the past, I was fortunate enough to be surrounding myself with some great people that maybe I listened to them a little bit on things. But no, I don't have a resource really online that I think is the end all for anybody right now. We could, you know, Investopedia for definitions.
Oh, yeah, I like it. Yeah, well, nothing. It's really hard to replace that face-to-face value you get and that personal level of networking. Okay, next question, Craig, is what book would you recommend to the listeners and why?
God, I love books. You know, I really have an old version of Napoleon Hill's Law of Success. It's like a hardback, brown-covered one. It's a very thick book. It's like 1,500 pages. I've read it like 10 times. And it just goes in there and tells you all the characteristics you need to have to be successful. And he says that you need to have 20 for 20. You need to have them all. You can't just have one. He gives examples of people who maybe had 18 out of 20 or 19 out of 20. And there's some people that you would recognize in there that were successful, but not really successful people. I mean, some bad people. That's one of my favorite books, I would say. It's great. It's a great read.
Okay, awesome. Well, Craig, if you were to give advice to your 20-year-old self to get started investing in real estate, what would it be?
I would have bought more real estate back then.
That's what everyone says, you know, start sooner, do more. You know, it's like every real estate investor just wishes they would have done more sooner.
Yeah, I mean, I like where I am today. So I would say anyone else who started, I would say just do it. Get out there and do it. And a balance of preparing and to actually take an action. You need to balance of both. You need to actually read some stuff, learn some stuff, and take an action. You constantly have to take action.
Yeah, right. Well, Craig, is there any parting piece of advice you'd like to leave with our audience before we wrap up?
Well, if you're not involved in crowdfunding, I'd love for you to get involved, either try out our platform or someone else's, because the more people that participate in it, the more we'll see change happen in a real estate environment.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Craig, thanks so much for all your information today. You've really given us some insight around crowdfunding and the ins and outs of that. Where can our audience find more about you and invest if they have any questions?
Yeah, there's a lot about me at our website, diversityfund.com. That's connected to all our social media outlets as well. You could easily follow us on there as well. Follow myself personally through my Instagram and Twitter accounts as well.
Awesome. Well, we'll link all of those things in the show notes, Craig. We thank you for your time today.
Great. Thanks, Jacob. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, that wraps up our interview today with Craig Cecilio. This was a fast-paced interview with tons of great content, so it may take a while to digest all of the information. If you have any questions about crowdfunding or wonder if it's a right opportunity for you, feel free to reach out to Craig and his team at Diversity Fund, and they'd be happy to help you out. If you've liked what you've heard on the show, please leave a rating and a review on whichever platform you're listening on. As always, if you have any questions or comments, or want to hear something or someone specific on this show, feel free to reach out to me. You can contact me at www.jacobayers.com/contact or connect with me on Facebook at The Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom. Till next week, signing off, I'm your host, Jacob Ayers.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast, providing you actionable content to build your real estate empire. Nothing on this show should be considered specific, personal, or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, financial, or business professional for personal advice. The opinions of guests are their own. Information is not guaranteed. All investment strategies have a potential for profit or loss. The host is operating on behalf of the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom, LLC, exclusively.